See, this is one of those times when I wish it was Triple Play Thursday. So that we can hear three songs. G chose one of my my first favorite band ever when I was a kid. My first obsession with music, Tommy James and the Shondells. And that's Crystal Blue Persuasion. It's two for Tuesday. One artist, two songs. You program them. Get your requests in. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Yeah, man, I was obsessed with Tommy James. Oh, man. Loved that band. Love Tommy James and the Shondells. All right. Two for Tuesday, everybody. How you doing? 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Hey, I want to plug my screening tonight, and I hope you guys can make it. 25th anniversary screening of Reservoir Dogs, Quentin Tarantino's breakout movie from 1992. We're going to watch it on the big screen, digitally remastered. If you've never seen Reservoir Dogs on the big screen, it's beautiful. It's shot in scope, and it uses every inch of the screen. It's magnificent to see on the big screen if you've never seen it on the big screen. If you've never seen it, you should definitely check it out. 7 o'clock, meet up, have some dinner and drinks at Bogart's on the second floor of the Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont. And then at 8 o'clock, I will introduce Reservoir Dogs. We'll all watch it together, and then we'll talk about it afterwards. Lots of great behind-the-scenes stories on this one and some interesting facts that we will talk about after the movie. And we do this once a month. It's usually the first Tuesday of each month. So we've got this is tonight, and the show starts at 8 o'clock. And get there early. And Reservoir Dogs. Only $10 and parking is free. And the tickets are going pretty well here. So you might want to check them out and reserve your seats because some of the best seats are already taken. So you want to get in there and get your tickets now. It's only $10. Parking is free. Go to Fandango.com and pick out. Go to the seating chart, pick out your seats. They'll be there waiting for you tonight at the Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont, which is easy to get to. Parking is free, like I said. And if you don't want to drive, you can take the blue line, get off at Rosemont. It's a 5-minute walk. Really, really conveniently located, a beautiful theater. The theater that we show them in is one of the best theaters to see a movie in the city. We're in the big premiere theater, giant stadium, love seats. You can have cocktails. You can eat during the movie, all that cool stuff. Bogart's is a great restaurant if you want to come and have dinner beforehand. And then we're going to see a classic on the big screen, Quentin Tarantino's breakout smash hit movie, Reservoir Dogs, which is a classic. And that's tonight. Movie starts at 8. And again, Fandango.com. And I hope to see everybody in there. Let's pack the place. It's going to be a lot of fun. So we're talking about like courtroom shows and courtroom movies and some of the top attorneys in TV. I've always found it a kind of an interesting, genre of both movies and TV shows. Esmeralda, do you like the old courtroom dramas?
Oh, I love me some Law and Order.
Yeah.
And SVU and all the other ones.
And what was the other one? SVU, Law and Order, Criminal Intent.
That one I didn't like as much.
Yeah.
But I still watched it.
That was the Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah.
Who did most of his acting tilting his head.
That was like very mental. Like everything that yeah. he would do, it was all about like psyching out the person.
Exactly. And D'Onofrio is a loon. There's a lot of stories about D'Onofrio being a little bit loony, which doesn't surprise me, you know? All right. We got some great memorable movie lawyers, great memorable movie attorneys and TV attorneys. And then courtroom stuff that we love. Now I love the old school. My favorite Law and Order is the old school Law and Order with Jerry Orbach, and Chris Noth.
Yes.
Michael Moriarty, Stephen Hill. That's the, the original, cast of Law and Order, the first, four or five seasons. Those were my favorite. Those are still my favorites. And the other thing that's great about going back and watching the old Law and Orders, remember when the years ago that Law and Order was on A&E, 24 hours a day? You could watch, 12 episodes a day of Law and Order if you just turned on A&E.
Oh, now man. You can watch, well, at least SVU on ION.
Yeah.
They'll have days.
Yeah.
A Thursday or a Wednesday or whatever, and it's just all Law and Order.
One of the things that I thought became problematic with, especially SVU, was when they started, because one of the things about that made, I think, Law and Order so unique and everything, one, the first half was law, two, the second half was always order. So your first half hour was law and your second half hour was order. And they always, you know, solved the case at the end. And there was always an ironic, you know, Stephen Hill would be leaving the office, you know, and then he would make some sort of ironic, sad statement and the elevator doors would close and it would say, Dick Wolf, executive producer. You know, that's kind of the way it always ended. It always opened with Jerry Orbach making smart ass remarks. You know,
really? Because I remember it being, well, at least maybe this is in the newer ones, where someone would find the body.
Oh, yeah.
And no, or something would happen.
Yeah.
And then...
No, that's the very first scene is always someone like, oh, look, I'm coming home from work and I'm walking through the alley. And oh, my God, there's a dead body by the dumpster.
Exactly. And then Jerry Orbach
then,
says something.
But it always, here's the thing, like right before the credits, it always ends with Orbach saying something smartass. You know, right before you hear, dun, 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 dun.
So he was the original of
David,
CSI.
David Caruso.
There
yeah.
you go, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But he would, it would be like, well, we found the dead body, you know, and we found the dead body and his ex-wife found the dead body. And then like, you know, like Orbach would say, I got three of those and it never, it was never taken that far. Boom, bam, down, 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 down. It was always that kind of stuff.
Well, he's never going to do hanky panky again. Never, it's going to be something like that.
It's like, never going to have hanky panky again. Boom, boom, down, 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 down.
Oh, Jerry Orbach.
He was the best,
he
man.
He was the best.
He was the best. And I love Stephen Hill. Stephen Hill was my favorite DA. I mean, look, Sam Waterston rules. And by the way, Sam Waterston is on this list as Jack McCoy. But my favorite DA was Stephen Hill. Stephen Hill, the thing that my friend, when back in the mid-90s, in the mid to the late 90s, when A&E, in fact, was showing Law and Order 53 times a day, my old buddy David Cromer, who is an enormously successful Broadway director right now and is actually on the show Billions with Giamatti, he started out here in Chicago, went to Columbia, and we went up the ranks through theater and directed shows, you know, at the same time and all that stuff, and we were admirers of each other's work, and we used to hang out at Simon's all the time when Simon's was a big theater bar. And we would always talk Law and Order because Law and Order would be on the TV at Simon's. Like, the volume would be down, but they would have Law and Order on. So we would just kind of sit there and watch it. They would put the closed captioning on.
Mm-hmm.
So we could sit there and drink, listen to good music, and watch Law and Order. And so David and I would sit at the end of the bar, talk theater, tell theater stories to one another, you know, what we were going through. Like, we'd come back from rehearsal, and we would both bitch about our cast. He was directing something, I was directing something. And then we just watch Law and Order. And my favorite description of Stephen Hill ever came from Mr. David Cromer, who was a brilliant and funny and wonderful guy. David once said, it looks like... It always looks like his hat weighs 300 pounds, the way he wears it. You know, like, he's just always like, oh, God. Like, you know, when at the end of every episode when Stephen Hill would put his hat on, like, his head would sink into his shoulder, like, law sucks. You know, and he walks out all sad, and then the elevator doors close, and he's got a 300-pound hat on. That was always my favorite description of
he's
Stephen Hill.
He's too old for this.
He's
getting too old for it.
Dad, I'm tired of these complications. Do what you need to do. Make the verdict stick. I'm going to put my 300-pound hat on and go walk in the rain.
Yeah, I liked him. I wasn't a big fan of what's his name, and he was a congressman or a senator.
Dalton.
Yes.
Fred Dalton Thompson.
Yeah, I wasn't too
big. Oh, I liked him. I like him. I liked Fred Dalton Thompson. I mean, I thought he was fine on Law and Order. He wasn't, I mean, again, Stephen Hill was the best. And Waterston is definitely better than Dalton Thomas was. Thompson was. But Fred Dalton Thompson is in Die Hard 2, and he rules in that, so he gets a complete pass for everything.
I just didn't like it because he was always having to, you know, schmooze somebody.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, what's his name? The other guy, the older guy?
Stephen Hill.
He wouldn't do that.
No way.
He'd be like, oh, whatever.
Oh, my hat's too heavy. I can't do that. My neck's killing me. I'm tired of this job. Stephen Hill, by the way, just passed away, I think, last year, or maybe a couple of years ago. But, man, he was so great on that show. But, yeah, I used to watch it all the time, man. I watched it all the time. And I've got this list here of top attorneys, and Jack McCoy makes the list, Esmeralda. That's Sam Waterston.
He is good.
Yeah, he's great. He's terrific. And And then we got movie lawyers as well. Now, I was looking at this TV list, and Kaz is not on this list, which I find completely unacceptable.
Just write them in.
How do you not have Kaz on list of the greatest top attorneys in TV history? Kaz should be number one.
You should make him 1.1.
Well, in my heart, Kaz is the greatest attorney in the history of television. Ron Liebman as Kaz.
What was his win ratio?
All of it.
Oh, 100%?
I can't remember.
Batting average.
I can't remember. It's just the best. It was the best show ever, Kaz. He went to prison. While he was in prison, he read law books, becomes a lawyer, gets out of prison, and becomes Kaz the attorney. Full name Kaczynski, but they called him Kaz. Then he played
in prison. Is that
he played
what they called
jazz.
Him in prison?
He played jazz drums too. When he
Kaz played jazz.
That's right. Kaz played jazz.
Kaz on jazz. That's his
exactly.
album.
Exactly. Exactly right. Ron Liebman, the king. I can't believe that we did a play at the factory where there were 500 Kaz references. We just made
you should have just made a play about Kaz.
Well, he was like a supporting, like a supporting character in this show. But the funny thing is, with repetition, people, you know, at the beginning, you set it up and you explain what it is. It's this obscure, ridiculous TV show from the 70s starring Ron Liebman. And his name was Kaz. And if you say Kaz over and over and over again, at one point we got to laugh every time somebody said Kaz. And people, and I guarantee you, 90% of the performances, 100% of the crowd didn't know who the hell what Kaz was. No idea. And we still, and I always looked at it as a massive victory that we got a laugh on referencing something that only Oaken and I knew about. Like, the cast didn't even know it. We had to explain to the cast who had to make all these Kaz references. You know, a lot of people who knew who Ron Liebman was. But they were like, what the hell is Kaz? It's the greatest show ever about law. So, no Kaz. This is an incomplete list because there's no Kaz on here.
I will alert MSN.
Okay. And when are we going to get get that petition together to get Kaz back on the air?
Next time Rich is on.
All right. Yes, that's right. We want to get it on MeTV. We'll get Sven Gulli to get Kaz back on the air. That'll work out real well.
What if Ron Liebman did a movie?
A Kaz movie?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
And then Sven Gulli could air it.
And then he could air it. Yeah. I miss Kaz. Best show ever.
Is it out on DVD? Do you have the whole
set? No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
I think
you
it was
tape them off the TV.
I think it
then?
Was. I would have if I'd known it was never going to be set. This is pre VCR, Esmeralda.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Buddy, it was probably. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was on for two seasons. I think it was two seasons.
78, 79.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so just before I got a VCR, 79. Right before I got a VCR. Kaz. If you've never seen Kaz, we have to get it somewhere. It has to be seen. And I was talking about this before, I mentioned it before, that at that time, he and his wife were the king and queen of Sunday night CBS programming. Because Linda Lavin at the time was his wife, and she was in Alice, and that was on the same night before Kaz. So you've got the king and queen, Mr. and Mrs. CBS, Sunday night. Alice and Kaz. Come on! What else do you need? All right. We got a break, and we're talking about movie courtroom stuff and movie lawyers and TV lawyers and your favorite ones. And we'll get to some of the other ones here on 720 WGN. Yeah, man. I saw her walking on down the line. Yeah. Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. One artist, two songs. You pick them. We play them. 312-981-7200. Get your requests in now. That's G with Tommy James and the Shondells. That's Hanky Panky. All right, we're talking about great lawyers, great law, great movie lawyers, TV lawyers, and courtroom dramas and all that cool stuff. And I spent a significant amount of time in the last segment talking about the greatness of Kaz. So let's move on. Here's Kevin on WGNA. Kevin.
Hey, Nick. How's it going?
All right.
Hey, I was online on hold. I thought of another one, too. One of the very classics, To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah, but widely considered, Atticus Finch is widely considered probably the most memorable lawyer in the history of movies. And To Kill a Mockingbird is probably considered one of the greatest courtroom movies of all time, no question about it.
Yep, definitely. And then my first one that I was telling Dan about was My Cousin Vinny.
Please. Phenomenal.
That was so hilarious.
Vinny Gambini. He's fantastic.
That's great.
Yeah, and I like Marissa Tomei. Oh, yeah, you blend. Oh, man, that movie's great. All right, Kevin, thanks, man.
Yep, have a good one.
See you
man.
Later.
Bye.
I love My Cousin Vinny. I love that movie. It is so funny. And I went in, I vividly remember seeing that movie. 25th anniversary of that movie this year, too. My Cousin Vin. So I vividly remember going to that movie with the lowest expectations in the world. I don't know if you guys remember, but Pesci had made two terrible movies right on the heels after he won the Academy Award for Goodfellas. I can't remember what the first one was, but he made a really horrible comedy called The Super. Dan, did you ever see The Super?
I never saw it. I remember, like, seeing commercials.
Oh, man. Esmeralda, have you seen that?
No, but again, yeah, it sounds familiar.
He's like a wacky, you know, he's a wacky landlord that, you know, he's the super of a bunch of dumpy buildings, and it's horrible. Horrible. And then I remember seeing, I'm like, what the hell? And this was coming right after, like, Goodfellas, you know, where he's, like, the biggest badass on the planet. In Goodfellas, and I'm like, what are you doing? What's happening? And then I remember seeing the trailer for My Cousin Vinny going, oh, God, this is going to be worse than The Super. And it's so great. So great. The reason why My Cousin Vinny works so well is because it's a fish out of water story. And those are, you know, those are easy to do. You know what I mean? Take somebody who's not familiar with the environment, throw them in the mix and see what happens. That's why Crocodile Dundee made $40 billion, because it's one of those fish out of water things. But the thing about that separated what I didn't expect from My Cousin Vinny was it treated all the characters with respect and intelligence. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't an idiot because he was like a Goomba from Brooklyn and he was in the South. And the people in the South weren't morons because they lived in the South and they ate grits. Everybody was on equal footing, and they were funny for reasons that were based on character, not on stereotype. And I never expected that when I went to the movie. Never. I didn't expect it to be as intelligent as it was and as respectful to both sides of the fish out of water story. You know, didn't fall on cliches at all. I was amazed by how well written that movie was. I really was, and how well acted it was. And man, come on. Fred Gwynn, what are we talking about here? Fred Gwynn is the king. Utes? What is a ute? Come on. It's Fred Gwynn, Herman Munster. Please. So, mentioned To Kill a Mockingbird, which is a classic. I'm looking at this list from Watch Mojo, and they've got, like, the lawyers. Check this out. Matthew McConaughey is listed three times on this list for lawyers. Three times. He played a lawyer in Amistad. That's on the list. He played a lawyer in The Lincoln Lawyer, which they should have called The Drinking Lawyer because he's drunk in every scene in that movie. And then he played a lawyer in Time to Kill. I think I forgot how many lawyers McConaughey played. I was like, wait a second. And I think in one of the rom-coms that he's in, he's a lawyer. Wow. All right.
Can he get a law degree by now?
I think so. Well, like, hell, if Kaz in jail can, why can't McConaughey, who's free? And I think on his law degree, it just says Kaz. It doesn't say anything else. It just says Kaz, attorney at law. All right. Let's see. On this list is Arnie Becker, played by Corbin Burnson in L.A. Law. He was Weasley, right? On that show?
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't know if I've ever sat through an entire episode except for one where one of the lawyers fell down an elevator Shaft.
Well, that was, remember that was like the one of the shocking
right.
things that ever happened on television? She fell right down the elevator shaft. Corbin Burnson on LA Law as the divorce attorney, 262 area code, also votes for. Here's the thing. The reason why I immediately think is that he's Weasley is because Corbin Burnson always played weasels. Like in the Major League movies, he's a total weasel in those movies. So if I'm not mistaken, I think he was a weasel in LA Law. He, by the way, showed up on Powerless, and he's hilarious on Powerless. Is anybody watching that show? Am I the only person who's watching Powerless? I think I might be the only person who's watching that show, but I think it's very funny. All right,
it's on NBC, right?
It's on NBC on Thursday nights.
It looks cute.
Remember, I thought Vanessa Hudgens was Selma. Who did I think she was?
Selena Gomez.
I got them all confused.
That's okay.
All right. Anyway, she's great on the show, and I think the show's very funny. All right, we got to take a break. We'll talk more law and lawyer, all that stuff. We also have pop up video coming up later on. News is after this. Two for Tuesday, yeah, man, two for Tuesday. You want to request one artist, two songs, your choice, 312-981-7200. Scotty from South Bend chose Cream in that Schwabler, which is a jam that makes no sense. Like many Cream songs, the lyrics are like, what? You ever sit down and listen to some songs by Cream? They're jams, but like you go, I don't understand. What the hell is this about? All right. Hi, it's Nick DiGilio, everybody, on 720 WGN. A little later on in the show, Esmeralda and I will go head-to-head in another pop-up video challenge, and Esmeralda will drive all the alley cats insane with her lovely singing voice. And Dave Ennett will psychically have to control his feline army. So that's coming up later. But we're talking about lawyers and TV and movies and stuff like that. We got some texts coming in. 312 says, one of the best is Paul Newman in The Verdict. He played a flawed alcoholic attorney getting one more chance. It's a great movie and a great performance. And David Mamet wrote that movie, and Sidney Lumet directed it. It's one of the best. It is one of the best movies, courtroom movies of all time. Really, really good. 779 area code says Murdered One. Was the bald dude on Murder One? Because I remember the Saturday Night Live did like a parody of it, and they kind of, it was when, who's the Kaczynski, when he was busted and it was ratted out by his brother, when they brought him in. And Will Ferrell played Kaczynski, and they brought in the bald guy from Murder One to defend him or something. And it was Daryl Hammond in a bald cap, and they never called him by his character's name or the actor's name. They just kept referring to him, and here's the bald guy from Murder One. They never gave him a name or anything. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the bald guy from Murder One, and then that's how he introduced himself. I'm the bald guy from Murder One. Peter Indicator says, an old memorable lawyer show was The Defenders with E.G. Marshall. That was a great show. It was the first show I recall where the good lawyers didn't necessarily win their case. Before, it was Perry Mason who virtually always would prevail. Yeah, Raymond Burr is Perry Mason. Great show. Canadian Bill says, I liked The Practice when it started, but then towards the end it got goofy. How many serial killers did they have in Boston? Yeah. How about Ally McBeal, Esmeralda? I forgot about Ally McBeal.
Oh, yeah. I forgot they were lawyers.
Yeah, because they acted like goofballs. So you just, yeah, they were lawyers. Ally McBeal, played by Calista Flockhart. You know, she was nominated for five Golden Globes. She won one, and she had three Emmy nominations. How many nominations did The Dancing Baby get?
Seven.
I always found that to be so creepy.
It is, yeah. Especially at that point in time when it looked not lifelike, but
it was
we
weird.
Didn't understand how it was being made.
It was weird. It's weird. We've got the lawyers from The Good Wife, Christine Baranski and Juliana Margulies, and now Christine Baranski is on the spinoff, The Good Fight. I never watched that show. I hear that show is really good. Anybody, Dan, you ever watched that?
Yeah, we did watch it. Eileen was a big fan of it. You know, it was very well written. And,
yeah.
You know, like most of these lawyer shows, it's very attractive people yelling at each other, and you know, it did that very well.
Yeah, I mean, I just never got around to watching it. Everybody I know who has watched it has liked it. Viola Davis now in How to Get Away with Murder, another show I've never watched. Bob Odenkirk as Saul in Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. That's a good choice. Oh, here you go, Dan. Bridget Moynihan in Blue Bloods.
Yes.
Now, who does she, is she related to anybody, or is she just like the...
They're all related. So, like, Tom Selleck is the patriarch, and then each of the characters is a son or daughter. So all the sons became cops, and she became a district attorney.
Oh, all right.
Show makes me so mad.
I think we've kind of stopped watching it because it's kind of gone nuts.
What happened now? What happened to it?
It's just ridiculous. Donnie Wahlberg is just, you know, every episode it's more ridiculous how he's trying to save somebody but also crossing the line and...
Oh, that's
he's so judgmental.
Who, Donnie Wahlberg?
Yeah.
He's real judgy about people. Yes, like, at first glance, he's like, yeah, no, they're hookers. Yeah, they should go to jail. It's like, really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
This is what happens when you marry Jenny McCarthy. That's the side effect of marrying a moron. You know, Blue Bloods has been on since 2010?
It's got its own marathon
right.
on Ion, and I still watch it, and I get so angry.
You just watch it and get angry?
Yeah, I hate watch it.
That's the thing. What's really funny, Esrella, that happened when I first moved in with Heather, my second ex-wife, when I first moved in with her. She didn't have cable when I first moved in with her, which is just unthinkable, you know, that I could live in a house without cable. But I did for about 3 months. There was no cable, 3 or 4 months. And that's when I got hooked on the worst show ever in the history of television, and I couldn't stop watching it because it was so mesmerizingly crappy, and that's according to Jim. I couldn't stop watching it because I'd watch it and I'd go, this is the worst thing that I've ever seen on television in my life, and it can't get worse. And then I'd watch it and it would get worse. And then, like, there were, like, two, they had two on back-to-back, like, every day. And I would watch it. And then, like, Heather would come home, and she's like, why are you watching this? And I'm like, I can't turn away from this. This is a train wreck of biblical proportions. I've never seen anything like it. And I couldn't turn it off. So you just get mad, while you're watching Blue Bloods? Is that what happens?
Yeah. No, just because it's very, Donnie Wahlberg... He just says, sometimes he just, his thought process of things, because he's like, everything's black and white.
Yeah.
And there's no gray area. It's like,
All right. I would just like I would watch the According to Jim, and I wouldn't get mad. I would just be bad. I would just be like, how is this existing? How am I, how is this on? And that show was on, it wasn't like it was only on one season. That show was on for like seven, eight seasons, right, Dan? That show was on for a long time. And it is, seriously, it's the worst TV show of all time. As brother, have you ever seen According to Jim?
I think I've seen bits and pieces.
But
I know what's going on there.
Dan,
2001 to 2009. So
that show was on for 8 seasons.
For your syndication pleasure.
Did you ever watch it, Dan?
I think I've seen 5 minutes once.
So. It's shocking in its crapitude. Seriously. I mean, like, what? Oh, my God.
I mean, they made what's his name? Tim the Toolman Taylor.
Yeah.
Who's the guy?
Home Improvement. Tim
no,
Allen.
No, not that. Tim Allen, but that new one.
Last Man Standing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But it's not as bad as, I'm telling you, and they're all cut from the same cloth. It's like, goofy husband who's unattractive has smart, hot wife. And that all started with The Honeymooners. Except The Honeymooners is a remarkable piece of work and a great television show and one of the greatest shows of all time. But that formula of fat or not good-looking guy who is kind of dumb marries hot, smart woman, maybe there are kids involved, maybe there aren't. That's a formula that's been around since the 50s. And but the according to Jim, took it to a I don't even know where. It left me speechless. Like, I'd sit in front of the TV, like, what the hell am I watching? And I couldn't turn it off. I couldn't turn it off because it was so unbelievably mesmerizingly awful. Everybody on it sucked. Everybody. I don't even know who is his fat best friend, because of course he's got a fat best friend. I can't remember who his fat best friend was. And I like Courtney Thorne Smith. I like her. I loved her in Summer School. She was great in Summer School. And I liked her on the Melrose Place. But on this show, I'm like, what is it? So, God. All right, we have to break. Everybody hang on. 312-981-7200. How do we get to a... Oh, because of Bad Bloods or Blue Bloods or whatever the hell it's called with mustache.
Blue Bloods.
Blue Bloods, right, okay.
Yeah, I like Tom Selleck in it.
Okay.
He's a little bit of a voice of reason.
Well, Tom Selleck, how can you not like?
Tom Selleck. Stupid son, Donnie Wahlberg. Ruining it for everyone.
All right. We can go home and turn on Ion and just scream at the TV for an hour and a half.
Pretty much.
All right, let's take a break for weather and traffic. I'm blind. Yeah. All right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, 2 for Tuesday. Scotty from South Bend, Cream, that's I'm so glad, I'm glad, I'm glad, I'm glad. There you go. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. Get your requests in. All right, we're talking about law and lawyer movies and TV shows and memorable attorneys and all that cool stuff. Do you guys ever see The Devil's Advocate?
Yes.
I love that movie.
I do, too.
Oh, man. I love that movie. Dan, you ever see Devil's Advocate?
Just a few minutes here and there.
Because, you know, my boyfriend's in it.
Indeed. Did you see your boyfriend do the very nice charitable act?
Yes, I did. Did you see my boyfriend on the subway, Esmeralda?
No. What'd he do?
He's just sitting on the subway being my boyfriend. And it starts to fill up, and people come on, and a woman comes in, and he just looks at her and stands up and gives her his seat.
Oh, so he acts like a normal human being?
He acts like a normal human being, like not a movie star. Yeah.
Good for him.
But you know what? Esmeralda, you ride the L as much as I do, and you know that guys don't give up their seats to women.
No, I know. People are jerks.
You know, maybe an elderly woman.
No, not even.
Maybe a pregnant woman, you know.
I've seen people not stand for anyone.
Yeah.
Man or woman.
Yeah.
Nobody stands for the, you know, if there's a senior citizen that gets on.
The thing about Keanu is that, you know, like, I can see that he seems like a genuinely nice, cool guy. And, like, you see something like a simple gesture, like, oh, you sit down, I'll stand up. You know, it's a simple, normal gesture, and he did it. And, you know, like, and the guy's a movie star. First of all, he's on the subway. The guy doesn't need to take a subway, you know? He could be in the back of a limo.
Yeah, but traffic is just rough.
Yeah. Well, he's not driving. He could be in the back of a limo with a bunch of hookers and blow while the driver's doing all the dirty work.
He prefers to ride the subway.
And give up his seat for ladies.
And eat sandwiches on park
benches.
That's
right, and look sad. Anyway.
Just a regular guy.
Devil's Advocate, that movie rules. And, like, really, you know, everybody I know hates that movie. And that's one of those movies that, like, whenever I have to defend Keanu Reeves, which I've done many, 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 many times, that's one where I say on the plus side, because I think Keanu's really great in it. And all of my friends are like, he sucks in that movie. He's terrible. No, he's not. He's good in it. It's Al Pacino who's terrible in that movie. That's another example we were talking about yesterday, Esmeralda.
Oh, where he's yelling.
Roar! The last 5 minutes of that movie, I thought his head was going to explode. But for that movie, it works. He plays the devil. He's Satan. He's going to scream. Yeah, I love that movie, man. That's a damn good movie. Devil's Advocate. I put that one right on the list of great law movies. And it's a horror movie, too, which is awesome. It's a horror law movie. Here's another one for you, Esmeralda. Primal Fear.
Oh, that's right.
Come on.
Although Richard Gere was not good.
I like Richard Gere in it. I like Richard Gere in it. It's just that, you know, Laura Linney's good in it. It's just that Edward Norton is so unbelievable in it that everybody else is like, yeah, they're pretty good.
Maybe that's what it is.
Oh, because Edward Norton is ridiculously good in that movie.
No, he is.
God. First movie. Hey, welcome. Oh, this is what you're going to do? This is how you're going to be? Oh, okay.
Nominated
for supporting actor. First movie out of the gate. He gets nominated for best supporting actor and gives one of the best performances, you know, of that year or in like a 10-year span. He was unbelievable in that movie. Yeah. All right, let's go back to the phones. Here's Steve in Galesburg on WGN. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Nick, you're an SNL guy like me. You're forgetting about Bill Murray, Where the Buffalo Roam.
Peter Boyle
played Laszlo.
Yeah. Yep.
The critics panned it, but I still watch it on VHS now and then.
It's, Steve, I think it's better than Fear and Loathing. I think it's better than the movie version of Fear and Loathing.
I like Johnny Depp, but it is better.
I did, too. No, I like Johnny Depp, and I thought Benicio del Toro was good, and I thought they did the best they could with what is a book that it proved to be unfilmable.
but Buffalo Roam, I love that.
I think it's a good movie, too, man. It's a very underrated film, and Bill Murray's very good at it playing... Well, he's playing a version of Hunter S. Thompson, and then Peter Boyle is Laszlo. I actually liked it very much.
All right, Steve. Just wanted to call and comment.
All right, buddy, take care.
All right,
it's interesting, but I will say this: after Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, when I saw the movie, when it was over, I was okay. That's the best that anybody could do with this book. Have you ever, Esmeralda? Have you ever read any Thompson, Hunter S. Thompson?
No, okay. I haven't actually.
He's one of my favorite writers of all time, you know, when I heard they were making a movie out of Fear and Loathing, you know, actually Cusack's company, John Cusack's theater company, New Crime, they did a production of it in late 1991, and they did a really great job with it. And then when I heard they were making a movie out of it and Terry Gilliam was going to direct it, Johnny Depp was going to play Thompson, and Benicio del Toro, who gained like 70 pounds for the role, was playing Laszlo, his lawyer, I was like, okay, this is going to be great. And It was after when it was over, I'm like, you can't film the movie. It's one of those books that you read where you go, they can't make a movie out of this. They can't. And you and it was proven that you can't make a great movie out of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. They did the best they could. But I kind of think that book is unfilmable. So originally, though, it was supposed to be Alex Cox who directed it, who did Sid and Nancy, and who did Walker. And great director, Alex Cox. And I maybe he would have done a better job. I'm not sure. Jay says, attorney Doug Lawrence from the 70s TV show Family was the first one that comes to mind. Boy, did I have a crush on Christy McNichol during that show, when that show was on the air. Joe in Richmond says, did anybody mention the movie From the Hip? Oh, yeah, man. Judd Nelson as a hip attorney.
Does he shoot from the hip?
He shoots from the hip.
Oh, boy.
Yep. And he's actually defending John Hurt, who just passed away a few weeks ago. 847 area code says, And Justice for All with Al Pacino. That's one of my favorite movies of all time. I know every single line of dialogue to that movie. One of my favorite, Arthur Kirkland is one of my favorite lawyers of all time, played by Al Pacino. Esmeralda, have you ever seen Injustice for All?
I don't think I have.
It's one of my it's like comfort food for me. Like, I'll be like, well, what am I going to watch? You know, like a lot of guys go to Caddyshack and all that stuff. Sometimes I just go to Injustice for All. She's seriously one of my favorite movies ever. Dan, you've seen Injustice for All, right?
I have not.
Oh, man, it's so, so good. Jeffrey Tambor is in it. He goes nuts, start whipping plates down hallways. Has like a nervous breakdown, just starts whipping plates. Jack Warden plays an insane suicidal judge. Craig T. Nelson plays the prosecuting attorney in the big case at the end. John Forsythe is the judge that's on trial, who Al Pacino has to defend. Oh, it's so good! It's the best. And I seriously, I'm not kidding when I tell you I know every line of dialogue in the movie. And it's weird because, like, who watches And Justice for All enough to know every line of dialogue? Only a loser like me. All right, we got a break here. News is coming up right after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Two for Tuesday. Yeah. Yeah. Mike requests the Ides of March. You wouldn't listen. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Coming up on after the 4:30 news, Esmeralda and I will play another edition of pop-up video. That means Skip Skipley will be making a return. Dan, has Skip Skipley, have you, via pigeons, have you talked?
We have connected.
Okay.
And, got some interesting news for you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Skip's got some, he's got some interesting news.
Interesting thing he's doing in March.
It must have been interesting things he's doing in March.
Mm-hmm.
Must have been not a very smooth flight on the jet, considering the kind of weather we were having around here.
Yeah.
Might have been tough. So, all right. Well, we'll hear from Skip and when we play some pop-up video a little bit later on. Right now we're talking about lawyers and TV and shows and movies and courtroom dramas and all that cool, fun stuff. And here's Roger on WGN. Hey, Roger.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
So, one of my favorite movies, Anatomy of Murder.
Great movie.
With James Stewart, George C. Scott, Ben Gazzara,
yep.
Lee Remick.
Yep.
A drunk Irishman and a drunk dog. basically, it's Duke Ellington's score set in autumn time in Michigan, black and white.
Right.
It's one of the best movies of the
50s. Yeah, I've seen it like 900 times. It's a great movie. Otto Preminger directed it. It's one of the quintessential courtroom movies and thrillers of that time and that era. A tremendous movie. And really one of my favorite Jimmy Stewart performances.
Oh, yeah. That's the performance you tell people who talk about Kevin Costner used to being James Stewart of his era.
Yeah.
No. You point out that movie and you can know.
Yeah.
Kevin Costner wouldn't be found dead in any movie with jazz in it.
Right. All right, Roger. Thanks, man.
Hey, one more thing.
Yeah.
A bad lawyer movie, Criminal Law with Oldman and Bacon.
Gary Oldman and Kevin Bacon as a psycho.
Horrible movie.
All right. Thanks, Roger. Take care. Criminal Law. Yeah. God, I haven't seen that movie in years. All right. We got some texts coming in. 262 area code. Does Jackie Childs from Seinfeld count? Of course Jackie Childs counts. Are you kidding me? Who told you to put the bomb on? The maestro? Who's the maestro? I didn't tell you to put the bomb on. Oh, man. He's on this list. Yeah, Jackie Childs is on this list here. Played by Phil Morris. Morris appeared as a recurring character, which was inspired by defense attorney Johnny Cochran in the show. Childs is known for using superfluous language and often describes things with multiple adjectives, like, it's outrageous, egregious, preposterous. He's hilarious. Jackie Childs rules, man. I didn't tell you to put the bomb on. 815 area code. John Larroquette in Night Court. Yeah, that was a good show, Night Court. That was a funny show. John Larroquette was funny in that. 847 area code. Did you order the code red? Tom Cruise from Few Good Men. You can't handle the truth. 847 area code. Main Justice on SNL. Bizarre and hilarious. You guys know Main Justice? From SNL, they did it twice. They only did it twice. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's one of the funniest things ever, Main Justice. It's hysterical. It's they did it once with when Justin Timberlake was a host and once when Jamie Foxx was a host. And they both respectively played the bailiffs in Main Justice. And Main Justice was this TV show where clearly they're from Louisiana, but for some reason it's in the show takes place in Maine. And Jason Sudeikis is the judge, and he's essentially doing a riff on the character that he did for Potato Chip. Like, it's essentially the same character that he did for the Potato Chip sketch, which is one of the greatest sketches in the history of SNL, the Potato Chip sketch. And it's just this insane. I can't do justice to describe it. I can't do main justice to describe it. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a minute.
All right.
But it's hysterical. It's just so. I mean, I love that character that Sudeikis does. That weird sort of, you know, Southern, you know, Colonel Sanders looking weirdo with his hemorrhoid donut I will take my hemorrhoid donut. Then they gave him a court show. They gave him Maine Justice, which is supposed to take place in Maine, but clearly, it's so funny. All right. 815 area code, The Rainmaker with Matt Damon. That's a great movie. That is a great, great movie. Really underrated film. You know who's really great in that movie? Mickey Rourke. Mickey Rourke is phenomenal in that movie as the guy who runs the sleazy law, the law firm that's in a strip mall. And Danny DeVito plays the guy who hasn't passed. He tried to take the bar. If I remember correctly, he tried to take the bar 15 times and he failed. And he's like the assistant to Matt Damon who takes on this court case. That's a great movie. Have you guys ever seen that? Dan, have you ever seen The Rainmaker?
Yeah, once, a long time ago.
So Coppola directed that. Francis Ford Coppola directed that movie. It's really good. Esmeralda, have you seen it?
I haven't.
It's really, really, really good. Spencer Tracy and Frederick March and Inherit the Wind. It's a great one. 8231 area code says, also, I miss in L.A. Law, Susan Day will always be Laurie Partridge.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see. Some of the other ones that people have mentioned here. Let's see. We mentioned the Devil's Advocate. Oh, Philadelphia. With Denzel as the lawyer, Tom Hanks. That was a good movie. Presumed Innocent with Harrison Ford. You guys remember that movie? Greta Scacchi, all sexy in it.
What's he do?
He's a lawyer.
Oh, okay.
And he has an affair with her.
Oh.
And then I can't remember. I only saw it one time. But I just do remember this. I remember the first time I saw the movie. This was, I think, it was 1990 or 91 or something. So it was a long time ago. First time I saw the movie, I knew the twist at the end. I guessed the mystery like 15 minutes in. And I'm not good at that. I'm not one of these people who are like, oh, yeah, that guy's the killer. But I figured it out like pretty early on. And when it was over, I was like, oh, thanks. Thanks for making me sit here for another 2 hours knowing the ending. So,
what did you want? Like someone to be like, you got it.
Yeah.
You can leave.
You're right. You can leave now. The thing is, I'm so bad at like, you know, like mysteries and stuff. And I, you know, like, it's like you're supposed to figure out who the killer is. I need a clue. Like, when I went, or I need a clue. Like, if in the beginning of the movie and I see the credits and I see Michael Rooker, I go, well, he's the killer. And that's exactly what happened when I went to see the Sea of Love, the big comeback movie for Al Pacino. Sea of Love, Alan Barkin, Al Pacino, John Goodman. And I saw, it was like a psycho mystery, murder mystery. And at the beginning of the movie, I saw the credits and I saw Michael Rooker's name come up and I went, well, he did it. What? It was 1989. It was a year after Henry came out. So that's all he was playing with those roles.
It'd be great if he would just point at the screen and go, he did it.
Yeah.
And then someone comes out like, oh, come on.
But I was like, just don't put Michael Rooker's name in the credits at the beginning. But then he'll show up on screen and you go, well, Rooker did it. All right. Hey, you remember Suspect with Cher as a lawyer?
Oh.
And Liam Neeson is an old homeless dude with long hair and they had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen bits and pieces and like he doesn't talk.
Right. And then they shave him and cut his hair.
Do they fall in love?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't even know if there is a love interest in that movie, if I remember correctly.
I remember seeing it maybe some months ago. I remember it was on TV and I saw the beginning.
It's one of those basic cable movies that was on like 8 million times. But yeah, Liam Neeson is all like all crazy, long-haired, bearded nut.
Yeah, like he doesn't talk,
right.
And she's trying to get him, and he won't.
Right.
He finally writes things down, I think. I think.
I can't remember. I'm trying to remember who directed that movie now. Suspect. Oh, man. Peter? Pumpkin Eater.
Peter Yates.
Ooh, I got the first name right. Peter Yates, director of Breaking Away. Great film. All right. We got a break here. We got weather. We got traffic. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the lawyer and courtroom and law talk. And then after the 4:30 news, we shall have another pop-up video And we will hear from Skip Skipley with his news. He's doing something in March. So we'll find out what that is. All right. LA goodbye. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Two for Tuesday, man. Yeah, yeah, two for Tuesday. Mike, Ides of March, LA, goodbye. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're wrapping up talking about movie lawyers, TV lawyers, and courtroom stuff. 312-981-7200. Peter says, how about all the John Grisham movies? Yeah, well, The Rainmaker, we mentioned The Rainmaker. How about The Firm, another Tom Cruise movie? You know who's great in The Firm? My good friend Gary Busey. He's great in that movie. And so is Holly Hunter. They're both so great in that movie. Holly Hunter is great in everything.
Is that the one with the same guy, the same character? I've never seen those movies.
No, I think you might be thinking of the Jack Ryan movies.
Oh, okay. Is that guy a lawyer?
No. Oh, okay. He's a CIA dude.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to remember the author who wrote these books, because it's Patriot Games and Hunt for Red October, Clear and Present Danger. The first one, I can't remember the author. Oh, Tom Clancy. So those are the Tom Clancy books, and they're and Jack Ryan is the main character in those, played by Alec Baldwin in Hunt for Red October.
Oh, but John Grisham, he does all
lawyer,
like separate.
I think so. Or maybe there is a recurring character. I don't read him, so I don't know. But I think I don't know if they're all the same character, but I know they're all lawyer movies and like mysteries and murder and intrigue and stuff. But they're all around law. So Alec Baldwin played him in Hunt for Red October. Harrison Ford played him in. What did he play him in? Patriot Games, Clear and Present Danger, and one other one.
Did he do Get Off? Oh, no, that was the president.
No, Get Off My Plane. That's Air Force One. He played the president in that. What a terrible movie that was. What was the other one? Patriot Games, Clear and Present Danger. Oh, man. And then the last one was Affleck played him. And what was that? What the hell was the name of that movie? And I liked that movie, too. Because it was like, Don't Even Blow It Up or something.
The Sum of All Fears.
Sum of All Fears, right. Sum of All Fears was Affleck.
There's also Chris Pine in there.
Chris Pine? Who did he play in that? What movie? Chris Pine played Jack Ryan? Oh, yeah. I totally forgot.
Recruit.
That's right. I totally forgot about that one. I think Chris Pine did, too. What? So do we know the third Harrison Ford? Or did he just play him twice? Because it was Patriot Games, Clear and Present Danger. I think one more. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's just those two. So.
Just those two.
Okay. What? I don't know. The one with Affleck is good, though. Like, they blow everything up in that movie. That movie they blow a bunch of stuff up. It's pretty scary.
Right in the trailer, right?
In a scary movie, man.
I think I remember, like, right off the bat, they're like, yeah. Nope, things are blown up.
Yeah, the beginning of the movie, if I remember correctly, like half the world blows up or something in the movie, if I can't remember. But, yeah, Affleck was in that one. 727 area code says, how about Absence of Malice with Paul Newman? That's really, that's not really a law movie. That's a journalism movie more than anything else. Sally Field and Paul Newman. Carrie says, how could anybody forget about Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer? Of course.
I'd say he's the best one.
What do I know? I'm just an unfrozen caveman. I'm afraid of fire. The late, great Phil Hartman. Now, let me ask you this. What about Legally Blonde?
Oh,
now
yeah.
She's
a lawyer. She's a student lawyer, but then she takes on, she's allowed to be a lawyer.
Well, there's a case in it at the end, right?
Yes.
I've only seen it once. She's Elle Woods?
Yes.
And she's, yeah. Doesn't she have a dog?
She has like an internship.
Right.
And they take on a case, and then like the head lawyer doesn't well, he sexually harasses her. But then the person who they're defending, she wants Elle as her lawyer.
And is that Jennifer Coolidge?
No, Jennifer Coolidge is her friend.
Oh, okay.
It's, she's the one from Varsity Blues where she put the whipped cream on herself.
Yeah. Allie Larder?
Yes.
Yeah. Because that's the best, that's, by the way, the best way to get my memory going about who that woman is.
I couldn't tell you any further.
That's fine. That's all you had to do was describe that scene, Varsity Blues. I knew exactly who you were talking about.
I couldn't even tell you what else she's been in.
James Vanderbeek, man. That's the height of his career right there, Varsity Blues. That guy has the biggest head ever in the history of heads.
It's very oblong.
He's got, James Vanderbeek has a noggin the size of Cuba. It's ridiculous how big that guy's head is. He's a walking taffy apple. It's just.
He didn't do any more movies, did he?
No, I don't.
Oh, he did Rules of Attraction.
Rules of Attraction, right.
But there was nothing more.
Nothing outside of Dawson. I mean, he's Dawson, man.
That's kind of his
word. He's big head Dawson. But I liked Varsity Blues, man. I thought that was a good movie. I remember I saw that one a few times at Bruin View as well. All right, how about Liar Liar with Jim Carrey? He's a lawyer in that movie. He's a liar lawyer. So, and then Liar Liar, the best scene in Liar Liar is when he beats the crap out of himself in the bathroom. Did you ever see Liar Liar, Esmeralda?
Oh, right. Yeah.
There's a whole scene where he just starts smashing his head into the toilet and he's punching himself in the face, slamming himself into the hand dryer and stuff. And the guy comes in and looks at him. And I can't remember what his line of dialogue was. Haven't you ever seen a guy kick his own ass or something? What's the line that he had? Oh, man. All right. We'll wrap this up. 847 area code, The Fortune Cookie with Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon. A great movie. Great movie. 815 area code, we cannot forget about Aaron Brockovich. Oh, yeah. Good movie. Julie Roberts, very good in that movie. 773 area code says, remember when George Costanza approached Corbin Burnson backstage at the Tonight Show with the dead cat case? Yes, I do. Of course I do. It happened on Seinfeld. Of course I'm going to remember it. Franklin and Bash, 219 area code. That's Zach and Breckenmeyer.
Yeah.
And of course, Matlock. You know, Abe Simpson loves that show. Matlock!
That whole retirement community.
The whole retirement community. We want our Matlock! 773 area code, Usual Suspects with Kobayashi. It's another movie that everybody loves and I hate. I can't stand that movie. And I'm way in the minority on that. All right, we got a break here, and we got the news coming up, and then after the news, Esmeralda and I will play a little pop-up video. And Skipley. I believe has landed on the roof and is heading down to unretire. All right. News is next.